Good morning. Welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss of First American Lutheran Church in Mayville, First Devanger Lutheran Church in Fertile, and Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston. We read today from 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. There is much confusion about what love is. Love is not merely desire or attraction. We may desire what we don't love. We desire it for what we will gain from it. We desire and we seek to get, and we do so for our own benefit. But love is not about what we will gain from another. Love is giving to another. It is sacrifice. It is obligation. Love assumes a duty for another for the other's benefit. It does not use the other. Love is not just feeling, sentiment, or words. Love is action. Consider God's love. It defines for us what love is. God's love is God doing. Specifically, it is God giving. For God so loved the world that he gave. In what way did God love the world? He gave. Love is a verb. God is love as God gives. He gives Jesus. He sends Jesus to suffer and die for us. This suffering and dying takes away God's anger. It bears God's judgment. Christ's sacrifice on the cross makes peace between God and sinners. To know God's love and to trust in God's love is to know and trust in the death of Jesus on the cross to take away God's anger, our sin, and all our fear of judgment. Of course, if we have no sin that God must judge, and if we haven't angered God by our selfish and loveless refusal to do what he tells us to do, then we will neither confess our sins to God, nor will we look to Jesus as our Savior from sin. In short, if we are the measure of what is good and holy and pure and lovely, then there's no need for us to run to Jesus, because we will have all that we need without him. On the other hand, if the bitterness, hatred, war, adultery, theft, and slander that brings such misery upon the world all have its source within our hearts, why then we had better look elsewhere than to ourselves for the measure of true love. We must look to God. We must look to where God established himself in our lives as our God. That is, we must claim the faith that God engendered within us when he joined us in holy fellowship in the washing of holy baptism. And so that's what we Christians do. And then we know God's love and trust in God's love and remain in God's love. His love becomes the source of our love. What we must never forget is that true love is always divine. We love God only after he loves us. We receive God's love through faith in Christ. Then we learn to love God. When we love God, we love those whom he loves. Christians are born from above, born again to love, but we find it so very hard to do. We are born again. The Holy Spirit has given us a new life to live. We have the desire to love as God has loved us, and yet our love fails to meet its goal. It is not perfected. We remain afraid. We lack the boldness we need because we're afraid of judgment. Perfect love casts out all fear, but the love that we have for others is not perfect. And that's why we always need to run back to God's love for us, find our refuge in it, and then from receiving God's love by faith, our love for God and our fellow Christians is deepened. To remain in love is to remain in God. We cannot know God apart from Christ. We cannot know Christ apart from the sacrifice he offered up on the cross to take away God's judgment against us. And if God does not condemn us, then nobody else's judgment can make us afraid. If the one who holds the whole world in his hands is pleased with us, not angry, then we don't have anything to fear from anybody anywhere. Then we can love with boldness. We talk about love. Talk is cheap, but God's talk is never cheap because God's talk is always grounded in what He has done and will do. His talk is bound to His faithful action. But our talk, well, that's cheap oftentimes. It's easy for us to promise and then fail in our promise. The walk of love is much more difficult than the talk of love, and that's why we Christians often appear as hypocrites to those who are outside of the church, because they know of our talk. They know we talk about love, God's love and our love, and then we fail in our Christian living to live up to the words we speak, and so we become the object of judgment. And then when we are judged, we become afraid. But fear militates against love. So you see the bind we find ourselves in. Love is freedom. Love is peace. Love comes from knowing that our sins are forgiven. Love is not living in fear of judgment. And so we fear judgment, but we ought not to fear judgment. And that's why we must always look to Christ as the source of our love, because He's borne divine judgment against us. We don't have to fear what He has already faced, and we certainly don't need to be afraid of the judgment of the world. People see our sins, and they judge us for them, but the fact is we know something that cannot be seen. The forgiveness of sins that Christ's blood provides, we know the love of God that nailed our sins to the cross to remove them from us. So, when the devil judges us, we deny his right to judge. When legalists judge us and try to place our conscience under the domination of the law, we reject their judgment. Jesus is Lord, not the judgment of the law. And Jesus rules over us by taking away the judgment that made us afraid. When we have the love of God in Christ, we have peace and we're not afraid. And if we love God, we love our brother. St. John writes, "If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also." Jesus is our God. When we love Jesus, we love our God. Jesus is our brother. When we love Jesus, we love our brother. When it comes to our faith, we look for God in Jesus. When it comes to our love, we look for Jesus in our brother. We can't know God apart from faith in Jesus, and we can't love God apart from loving our brothers. We say we love God, but God doesn't accept mere verbal assurances. Love is doing, and we don't see God. We can't give Him anything He needs. So the only way to love God is to love those whom God loves. That's what Christians do when they love their fellow Christians. Let me give the example of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man did nothing for Lazarus, and he did nothing for Lazarus because he did not love him. Why not? Because he didn't love God. And why didn't he love God? Because he had not received God's love in faith. And why not? Because he had a different faith. His faith was in what he owned. And so he loved them more than anything else. He feared losing his wealth. He loved and trusted his wealth. That was his God. And he feared, loved, and trusted his God above all things. His lack of love for the true God was shown in his lack of love for Lazarus. The old English word charity has pretty much gone by the wayside. It's been replaced by the word love. Nowadays, when we think of charity, we think of giving money to help the poor. But love encompasses much more than giving money and other material benefits. Divine love shows mercy in every form it is required. Here I'd like to make a distinction that isn't always apparent to people. If you look at the second table of the law, Commandments 4 through 10, they teach us to love our neighbor as ourselves. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, your neighbor may or may not be a Christian. You have no more right to slander or rob an unbeliever than you do a believer. But here in our text and elsewhere, the Bible talks about specifically loving our brother. There's an old expression, charity begins at home. Those of you who have children would probably agree with me that you don't like to see children fight, but you especially don't want to see your own children fight because they're your children. When you share a father and a mother, you are brothers and sisters. So if you love your father and mother, you should show that same love to your brothers and sisters. There's a family bond that we need to learn to respect. Christians have the same Father. He is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our brother. And Christians have the same mother. She is the Holy Christian Church into whose fellowship we have been baptized. So what we do in love for our Christian brothers and sisters, we do for God. Let me give you one simple example. You cover up the shame of a fellow Christian. Somebody, let's say a Christian brother does something, says something foolish, and he receives criticism from many. So what do? You look for the best in him. You speak well of him. You forgive what he does wrong. You cover up his shame. And what are you doing but loving the Lord Jesus Christ, who bore the shame of the cross and identifies with us? So the way you treat a brother or a sister in Christ is the way you treat Christ himself, because to love God is to love his children. If you say that you're my friend, you love me, you're not going to despise my children. You don't have to agree with them all the time. But there's a bond, and the family bond of blood is nothing compared to the spiritual bond of Christian fellowship that Christians enjoy with one another in the truth. To claim to love God while hating those to whom he has joined us in fellowship, well, that's to lie. It's to speak hypocritically. So we need to rid our hearts of all hatred against our brothers and sisters. Well, how do you do that? You can't simply will it to be gone. So we confess it as sin, and we go to where God gives us his love and his forgiveness. We go to his gospel and his sacraments, and then there God's love comes into our hearts and does battle against our hatred, and he heals us on the inside. God is love. We receive love from God. We give love to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We love Jesus by loving those he loves, and we live in God's love. We thank you for being with us this morning on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. This broadcast is sponsored by members of First Confessional Lutheran Parish in Mayville, Crookston, and Fertile. Next Sunday, June the 24th, we will be having a service of our parish at Itasca State Park, near the headwaters of the Mississippi River. And if anybody is visiting Itasca on that Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, we invite you to come and join us. We'll be meeting down by Lake Itasca in the picnic area. And please tune in next Sunday morning to the same station for the next broadcast of Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast.